Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and your grace which leads us through our days. That as we continue through this Christmas season, Lord, that we would continually think of how we might serve you. Think of how you loved us. And God, that all of our days would be spent knowing that you are with us and seeking you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Now, when my parents were 10 years old, gathered us kids into a station wagon. You remember what a station wagon was? It came before the minivan. Gathered us together and we went to a movie theater and saw the movie Scrooge, which was based on Charles Dickens' 1843 classic called A Christmas Carol. I have to say that the musical adaptation to this movie is one of my favorite Christmas movies. Although I have to say I still do enjoy the Muppet Christmas Carol. In this story, Ebenezer Scrooge's life turns from a life of great promise, a life of joy, when he is unable to separate success from the accumulation of wealth, essentially greed, instead of finding success in relationships with those gathered around him. It's only after a visitation by his old partner, Bob Marley, and three spirits of Christmas, past, present, and future, does Ebenezer realize his greed and comes to understand his past relational mistakes. In a moment, he truly forgives himself and turns his life around to enjoy the remaining days he has as he becomes this generous and joyful man who has learned to value relationships above and beyond material wealth and possessions. Now, I sense this is a lesson we all need to heed early on in life, but one which needs to be revisited throughout our lives. Too often we find our value linked more to what we have, the things we possess, the lifestyles we live, instead of finding our value in the many relationships that we can forge throughout our lives on this earth. Like Scrooge, we need to realize our mistakes, forgive ourselves, and become generous and joyful people, the people that God intended us to be. Now, it would be over a century later, after Dickinson's story, when C.S. Lewis would write a story with many of the same lessons. It was called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where four siblings, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, are moved to a house outside of London during the bombings in World War II. And during their stay there, they enter into a wardrobe where fur coats give way to pine needles, where wood floors give way to snow crunching beneath their shoes. The light of a room gives way to the light of a lamppost, and a world opens up where animals reason, think, and even speak. In this land, we learn of the younger boy Edmund's own greed for Turkish delight and his desire to have power over his siblings as he aligns himself, unbeknownst to him initially, with the evil white witch of Narnia. Yet, is his life forfeit? Is his life forfeit to this journey into greed, loneliness, and darkness? It's like the question we must answer or ask and answer ourselves. Can people in this life who have fallen into darkness be resurrected or rescued or restored? I wonder if there's a chance that the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future will help him see the truth of the decisions that he has made. No. In Narnia, there are no spirits of Christmas past, present, or future. No, in Narnia, it is the great emperor beyond the sea who has rule over the laws that govern the entire world, who sends his representative Aslan to make wrongs right again, to bring joy to the sorrowful, to bring forgiveness to the unforgivable, to restore the lost, and then to defeat the enemy of all. And it is this Aslan who rescues Edmund from the grasp of the evil one, who sacrifices his life that forgiveness might be granted and Edmund might be restored, who returns the land of Narnia from the cold, dark winter to a warm and beautiful land in which the kingdom can dwell secure. Now, if you know the story of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, you know that Aslan is the great lion, the fiercest of all the animals in the kingdom. I love the story as C.S. Lewis brings to life new characters to us to tell a very old, old story in a new way. Of course, the story of Narnia focuses on the destruction brought into the world by an evil witch who desires not only to be ruler, but to be worshipped by others, and also seeks to destroy all who will not follow her. And of the four children who come into the land, the two older siblings, Peter and Susan, hey, they're skeptical. The youngest, Lucy, quickly believes, and yet Edmund, the third child, finds himself hitching his trailer to the evil one as he struggles with inner self-doubt, feelings of not measuring up, and really a desire to get even with others who have not been so kind to him. Things that we experience in our lives. And in the story, there are those who are faithful to the Savior figure, Aslan. And although they have not seen him, they know he is on the move. And there are also those who have already given allegiance to the evil one. And throughout the story, there's this battle of sorts for who will side with Aslan and who will pay no attention to him and side with the evil queen. This is true in our lives as well. Here on this night, you come to give your allegiance. Your allegiance to the righteous one, the holy one, a baby in a manger, whom God entrusted to Mary and Joseph, who would grow up and share God's love. But more than just share God's love, Jesus would help us to know God. And then in a very powerful move to show love to the entire world, Jesus would selflessly sacrifice himself for our sake, that we might be cleansed. No, that we might be forgiven for any disobedience to God. That we might forge a right relationship with God, where we might find joy and peace in this life, especially in an increasingly hostile world where some simply seek to end life in harsh and dramatic ways. It is by aligning ourselves with this baby and turning away from living selfish lives that we can find joy and peace in the midst of chaos, where we can live lives free from the draining bonds of unforgiveness. But we all have these Scrooge moments in our lives, don't we? Like Edmund, sometimes we become so involved in our own little worlds, we find ourselves becoming more selfish, becoming more joyless, and we struggle to find peace and joy in the relationships with those around us. You see, by not choosing Jesus every day, we move further away from the only relationship which can bring fullness of freedom to our lives, a freedom that we cannot fill by any other means. And only through this baby Jesus, born in a stable some 2,000 years ago, can we find wholeness today. Just a baby, with innocence and goodness and purity wrapped around him, lying in a manger. as our four children in Narnia first hear about Aslan, the savior figure, one of the children asks the beavers, "Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver responds, "Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king." In the arms of his mother, Jesus lays with Joseph, ensuring his safety in the world. Although this baby is good, as all babies are, we must remember that this baby would grow up to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will one day come back and collect his own that we might be with him forever. This is the hope we have in this baby tonight, that we will live with peace and joy forever with our God and our loved, all of our loved ones that believe. Let me end with this. In another scene in the books of the Chronicles of Narnia, we see how Aslan has truly become the children's friend, a counselor and a guide for them to trust, to lead them to safety in the world. As he is speaking to one of the girls, she asks him why he isn't in her world, to which Aslan replies, read it with me, "I am, but there I have another name. You must learn to know me by that name. This was the very reason why you were brought into Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little, you may know me better there." Friends, open your hearts as much as you can this night to the mystery found in the baby Jesus, God in the flesh, who enters this world by very humble means for the express purpose to know you, to love you, to forgive you, and to bring you to true life. What child is this who lays upon Mary's lap sleeping in a small stable in a little town of Bethlehem? He isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you do love and care for us and bring us to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we put our trust. And Lord, we ask that as we continue to worship you this evening, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that this baby born in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem would be worshipped with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.